I'm sure you know of people in your sphere of influence who came to the Lord. They're not walking with the Lord anymore. Too many have dropped out of the race. Too many have surrendered in the heat of battle. Paul knew that, and so he tells them, stand firm. Don't you surrender. Don't you fall out of the race. You see, that's maybe what we could say to some of our friends that we know are not in the race anymore. The heat of battle, it got to them, and they're not in the battle any longer. Pray for them. God has a plan for them, and he's using me and you for that.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Philippians 4 with a message titled, Rejoice and Again Rejoice.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement, also, and the rest of fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So rejoice and again rejoice, Paul says. But let's look at it a couple verses at a time, maybe one or two at a time. But he starts out, therefore, and that's always pointing back to what he's already said. Now, maybe you weren't with us. You're here for the first time. You know, well, what did you say beforehand? Well, I'll give you a few things that he said beforehand. But if you read the first three chapters, you'll understand. But the whole idea is to rejoice in the Lord. It's the joy that God gives us, no matter what the circumstances. That's the theme of the book of Philippians. And so when he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, beloved. So he uses that word beloved twice. But the therefore, pointing back, what he's already instructed them or what he's previously said to them. Remember, he said that he weeps over those who are enemies of the gospel. You find that in chapter 3, verse 17. I mean, he didn't want to see those go to hell. Not at all. They were enemies of the gospel. They were doing evil things, bad things, and he's weeping over their lack of insight into their life and their sinful life and their need to repent and come to Christ for forgiveness. He was weeping. Sometimes we get angry at those that do that, but you know, we've got to leave them to the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord and leave those circumstances to God. And then he also rejoices over the saints. That's what he's saying right here. We see that. And also he encourages the believers to follow his example. Now, he mentions those things in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, if you read that, you know. But he also talks about following his example in verse 9. We already read that. So here he is encouraging us to look at Paul and how he's living his life as a Christian. Follow him, not just him, but others that are living like him, that have that example. And then he talks about our citizenship. We're not bound to earth. But as Don was mentioning in that little clip, we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're citizens of heaven. He says that in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And not only that, we're going to have a new body in heaven. We're going to have a body like Jesus Christ, his resurrected body. You know, no pain, no suffering, no temptation. Incredible that what God has for us. One of the things that you notice about Paul is he loves people. You read his gospels and not his gospels, but you read his letters. He didn't write the gospels, Peter, James, and John. Again, let me go back. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know. My brain sometimes stalls out and my mind goes before it. So anyway, so he writes in his letters, you can tell that he loves the people. In fact, he lists them at the end of his letter and he always says something about them. That's what we can pick up from Paul. And he longs to see, notice the brethren, he calls them Adelphos. A couple of the Greek words I think are always interesting. And if you want to get a Bible that, you know, we'll define some of these words, the Keyword Study Bible is a great one to get. And a couple of the words I'm going to mention is I like that Adelphos. Adelphos, that's the Greek word. And it means from the same womb, like giving birth. It's like God's given birth to his church, to us. We're from the same womb, womb mates, you might say. We're brother and sister in the Lord. And he calls them beloved two times. He says that akapitos, that's where agape or God's love, but it's dear ones. I think we need to know that we're dear to God or loved of God. It never gets old when somebody says, you know, God really loves you. And that is really helpful in our Christian walk. And so Paul, notice twice, he says that. That whole idea that God loves you. Now, they're his converts because he talks about them being his joy and his crown. Another Greek word, Stephanos. That's usually that wreath that they would put around the head of a victor in some athletic games, and then they would have a banquet. Well, he uses that word for those that were Christians under his ministry. In other words, they were living crowns, and they were like gold medals. You know, in the Olympic Games, you get a gold medal. That's the biggest thing you can get there. But you see, these living medals, these living crowns are what Paul talks about. And that's something, those are the Stephanos. When he talks to the Thessalonians, in the Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? So it's the people Paul's talking about. It's you and me. Sometimes we think, well, I've never even led anybody to the Lord. You know, maybe I've witnessed to him, but I've never seen him come to the Lord. Well, you see, you're a living letter, a living epistle known and read of all men. People might read your life and they go, you know, there's something different about them. And they might talk to their friends. But what's different about them? Oh, they're a Christian. Oh, really? Huh. They just seem different than the people I'm around. And then all of a sudden, a little later, maybe somebody gives them a Bible, somebody gives them a tract, they open it up and they get saved. You realize that you've got a crown in heaven because of their salvation? Well, I didn't even witness to them. Yeah, but you were a living example of them. You see, sometimes we think we have to be like a Billy Graham or a Greg Laurie, you know, and we have to have a big altar call to have all those crowns. You don't realize just living for the Lord. Living for the Lord, that testimony is a powerful thing. And at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's the banquet where we're going to celebrate and see all that God has done through our life. You see, Paul's joy is in them. His joy is in them. Paul's not a selfish person, not at all, but he's filled with the love of Christ. It's a supernatural kind of love because you know Paul's life beforehand. He actually killed Christians. He separated families. He put fathers in jail and he did some really horrible things. And God's love just filled him. And notice the exhortation now. And this is serious stuff. The exhortation to them is to stand firm. It's to us as well, because the letter never gets old. It's always transferable to us. It's always practiced by us. So stand firm. It's a military term, is what he's using. A military term for one in the heat of battle. You stand firm in the heat of battle, whatever you're having to face, whatever you're having to deal with. It might be family and friends. It might be this world. It might be at school. It might be at work. Whatever it might be, you stand strong in the heat of battle. But it's also a racing term or a running term. Paul uses it in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Notice he talks about reaching forward. He talks about pressing on. That's the same idea. Why would Paul use this term? I think it's because Paul saw so many Christians, so many believers, just like you. I'm sure you know of people in your sphere of influence who came to the Lord. They're not walking with the Lord anymore. I think Paul knew that too many have dropped out of the race that Paul knows of. Too many have surrendered in the heat of battle. Paul knew that, and so he tells them, stand firm. Don't you surrender. Don't you fall out of the race. You see, that's maybe what we could say to some of our friends that we know are not in the race anymore. The heat of battle, it got to them, and they're not in the battle any longer. Pray for them. Just amazing how God can bring them back and how God somehow can do a divine appointment. All of a sudden, you're sitting next to him on a plane. It's amazing how I've sat next to somebody on a plane, or all of a sudden they've come and they're sitting in the seat next to me. They said, Bill, I was praying for this. It's just a miraculous thing. And sure enough, you know, God has a plan for them, and he's using me and you for that in interesting ways. He goes on, verse 2 and 3, and I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, he says, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So important. We think, well, that's ancient history. No, it isn't. It's for us. We put ourselves in here. That's the whole thing about the Word of God. You put yourself in there because somehow you fit. Now, he talks about these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche. These were probably women that were with Lydia. Remember by the river when Paul came into Philippi and there wasn't a synagogue? You had to have 10 or more Jewish males of age to have a synagogue, and I guess there weren't. So here they went down by the riverside because that's usually where they would have prayer meetings. And here were these ladies. And as Paul preached, God opened their heart. So I suspect these ladies and then others, maybe the one who was the prison guard and maybe that woman with the spirit of divination where Paul cast that spirit out. And then there were others. They were the seed of the church and church started and then others came along. But notice, I think it's important to realize these two ladies that he's talking to and he's exhorting. Can you imagine having your name in the Bible and God's exhorting you to do something that you should be doing already? that would kind of hurt, but it would be really a kind of a, not just an exhortation, but kind of a rebuke. So these ladies were probably leading ladies in the church, and it's presumed that they were in the church at that time when Paul came and preached the gospel at the riverside, and now he has to deal with them. When you look at their names, usually a name that a parent gives, they have that desire for that child. Euodia means sweet fragrance. Syntyche means friendly. Leading women in the church, but they couldn't get along. They were at odds with each other. They needed to practice their namesake, but they didn't. Somebody said if they didn't get it right, they ought to rename them. Rename one Odious, because she's not a sweet fragrance, and the other one soon touchy. You know, you're odious and soon touchy. You see, it's important that you get along in the church, not just get along, but love one another, because God loves us. We need to love one another. Jesus prayed, Father, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So oneness, as a Christian, we're Christ-like. Christian means Christ-like. And a house divided cannot stand. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You just have a couple people that divide off, and then they talk about why they're divided from this person, because this person did this to them, and then the other person does that to them. And all of a sudden, you have a church that is full of factious kind of people. Do you have any problems with somebody in the church? Ladies, men, you need to get it right. Or we're going to rename you Odious and Soon Touchy. Just joking there. But it's very important. Paul lays that out. Very important. You don't want to divide off from one another. Now, Paul is really telling the ladies, you've got to change your disposition. Change your disposition and be harmonious. Be in harmony is what he's saying. That's of the same mind and the same care for one another. You need to be that for Christ's sake. The Lord is part of the church. He's right there where two or more gathers. Jesus is there in the midst. Do you think Jesus would be pleased with how you're treating one another? No, he wouldn't. So for Christ's sake. And not only that, for the world's sake. For you're a witness of Jesus to the world. And he says, do that, be in harmony in the Lord. In the Lord, not outside of the Lord. You see, when you change your mind, and it brings a change of actions. And that's when you're in the Lord. So when God speaks to you or convicts you, you go and do it. You do what God wants. When Paul convicts you or when a message convicts you, you do what you know you should do. So that's being in the Lord. But outside of the Lord, well, that's your old nature takes over. Your old selfish nature, the nature that is kind of resentful, the nature that says, well, when they come to me and it's, you know, not that. You be the first. If you had aught against your brother or sister, lay your gift at the altar and go back and get it right, Jesus says. Mahatma Gandhi of India, the political and spiritual leader, when he was alive, he was asked about being a Christian. And he said, and I quote, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Isn't that sad? Am I unlike Jesus? I mean, each of us have to ask that. You know, as a church, we have the teaching to hopefully put us on the same page, that we're looking at each other. We don't have divisions. We don't have aught against one another. I read a story of a young soldier in Alexander the Great's army acting shamefully and shockingly, and he was taken in chains and to stand before the great general. Alexander the Great asked the young soldier his name, to which the terrified man replied, Alexander, sir. The great general glared back at him and said, "My name is Alexander. No one with the name Alexander can act the way you do. Now change your ways or change your name. Never again stand before me with such charges made against you." You see, Christian is not just a name, but it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle where we're living for Jesus Christ and allowing Him to work in and through our life in a supernatural way through the Holy Spirit. You see, when he says also here, you know, he wants the ladies to get along, but then he talks about the comrade and Clement. They knew what he was talking about. We don't necessarily know who the comrade was. They did. Clement, that was a, you know, pretty common name back then, so they would know. But comrade or companion, the idea is the picture of oxen together pulling a load. So he's saying you need to work together in the kingdom of God, pulling together. But you see, he's singling out an individual. In the first chapter, when he talked about the beginnings, and he talked about the elders in the church and so forth, now he gets to like a personal one of the elders or one of the leaders here. Because when he talks about comrade, he's singling out one of these fellows, because that word sanzuzgo is a proper name. We don't know who it was, but they did. When he wrote that letter, they would go, "Oh, he's talking about, you know," and they would point to him. And then now work together with Clement, common name, so they would know that. We don't, but the principle is the same. Work together. Don't be at odds with one another. You see, it's for one task, the kingdom of God, we're pulling together. And so when he goes on in verse 3 to the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life, fellow workers, that's us. Our name is in the book of life, that book of life in heaven. This one is an eternal book in heaven. And your name is there. My name is there. The names here that he talks about, these fellow workers, their names are there. The book of life, the Lamb's book of life. It's Jesus' book of life, because he died for our sins and he's the one that puts our name in there.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from Philippians chapter 4, titled Rejoice and Again Rejoice. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Philippians chapter 4. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.